それね。
Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I got a question. Are you ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grimm's Hentai Corner. And it really isn't Grimm's Hentai Corner, because there's only like one H scene in this era, gay. So, let's go on ahead and get started. We're almost to the end of it. So, we'll, try other things. I've got requests for Bible Black and other games. So, we'll see what happens. I know.
いえ、容易に信じがたいのは私たちもわかります。でも、夢の中に入るというのは本当のことなんです。
I understand you find it hard to believe, but it's absolutely true that we can enter into people's dreams.
夢には階層性があります。上は個々人のいわゆる夢ですが、その階層には集合的な無意識が広がっている。
There are multiple layers in dreams. The top one is the unique one that your consciousness is dreaming. But deeper layers lead to the collective subconsciousness of human beings. And it seems like Shinji has lost his way there. It's possible. He might never find his way back. Are you saying he might never wake up?That can't be. It felt painful to even look at her expression. For someone as kind as Miss Miyako, Shinji might as well have been her actual son. I told him of a way to get out some time ago. I just hope he remembers. It was something about a spinning top, wasn't it?
ここは現実ではないという気づき、それがあれば戻って来られるという話なんだけど。
Yes, he will be able to come back if he realizes that he isn't in the real world.
それにしても、なんで行っちゃったんだろう。
But why did he even go there?
女の子で、一体何があったのかな。
I wonder what he found beyond that gate.
シンジはずっと苦しかったんだよ。
He was always suffering.Monica spoke to them even though she knew they couldn't hear her. He was always in pain, so to Shinji, living meant fighting the pain on a daily basis. He lost his parents to a disaster, and then his lover was murdered. Monica probably made a mistake by revealing some of the traits of the killer, but he might not have recovered at all if he didn't have that much to motivate him.Or that to motivate him, rather, not that much. It was solely his obsession with revenge that kept him going. She couldn't imagine him giving up, but everyone wanted a little break when they got tired. For Sukuda, who he was so sure was the culprit, to end up being innocent, that must have devastated him. It would have only made it much easier for the false world to trap him with his sweet siren call.
結局、仮想ってどういう世界なんですか?
I wonder what kind of world exists in those depths.
それは一概には言えないと思うけど、というのは無意識が集まった世界だから。
I don't think you can explain it in a few words. It's constructed from countless separate subconsciousness after all.
ただ、多分居心地のいい世界なんでしょうね。
But my guess is that it's a very pleasant place to be in.
居心地ですか?
Pleasant, you say?
だから戻れなくなる。本人の意識下にある願望とかも現れるのかもしれない。
That's what makes it hard to come back from. That world may manifest all the wishes and desires you're hiding in your subconsciousness. And what he wants is... Hatsune, who'd been just looking at the floor with a gloomy expression, finally joined in.
きっと…
I think it's Madoka. Shinji is always.
そうね。それはその通りなんだけど。でも、そんな顔しないでよ、ハツネちゃん。
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. But please, don't make that face, Hatsune.
だって、私には。
I mean, I can no longer have his back. As sad as that is. So I've got no choice but to put my expectations on one of you, which pains me in its own way. But I can't be selfish. I swore to myself to never show him any regret. Because he'll never be able to move forward if I do. I don't want that. I want him to be happy. That's my only wish. And if it doesn't get fulfilled, then I too. Madoka is the name of his former girlfriend, right? Yes. Shinji spent years tracking Madoka's murderer, the Joker. I don't think he's the kind to stop at a time like this, not to mention. He also has us now. Hatsune regarded Kureha as though she was some sort of messiah. She really never minced words. Perhaps someone like her was exactly what Shinji needed to escape from his past. Madoka didn't know which of the girls was closest to his heart, but she felt that either of them could save him in their own different way. Yes. Wait. What's wrong? It was bothering me too much, so I couldn't help but suddenly pull back. Oh, scared? No. I haven't eaten any takoyaki today, so I don't have any seaweed between my teeth if you're worried. Ignoring her jest, I picked up a pebble from the ground. What are you doing? I keep thinking about what happened earlier. What? I glanced at the perfectly normal pebble and then squeezed it tightly. I never thought I'd become so serious about this silly game, but I threw the pebble with all my strength. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I didn't look away this time. I traveled across the water up until it disappeared from sight. Oh, amazing! I shook my head. There was something wrong with this. What's wrong, Shinji? Why do you look like you're about to cry? I'm sorry. My voice shook. I think I'll go home. You are? Then here you go. Madoka pushed the windbreaker into my hands. What about you? I'll stay here. Stay. Yep, I'll stay here forever. But you don't need to worry about me, Madoka. It's okay, I want you to do this. You still got things to do, right? You can't linger in a dead place like this. Yeah. I swallowed the bile that lingered in my throat and nodded. What about you, Madoka? What do you mean? Is there nothing you have to do? If you're staying there, then... I don't think there's anything left for me in particular. Though I have a wish. I guess. It's... She opened her mouth but closed it again without saying anything, then slightly tilted her head. Maybe it's better if I don't say it. I fear it'll sound disingenuous if I put it into words. But just know that it's related to you. This was probably the first time I heard her address me in such a tone. So, Monica turned to the exit, urging me to move on. I nodded and turned around. I walked along the narrow forest path. When I tried looking back midway, I saw Monica still standing in the same place, watching me. It was just like back then. Back then, when was that again? My legs suddenly froze. I felt like running back to her side, but knew that it was a bad idea at the same time. Besides, she just told me that. But it felt like my legs were rooted into the ground, making me unable to budge into either direction. There was no doubt in my mind. Come to think of it, I spent most of my time standing in place. In fact, I never wanted to move on. But that wasn't really feasible in the real world. It kept changing, and everything kept moving. So... But then, I suddenly felt something like a voice calling me, as though to guide me in this crossroad. It didn't come from the Monica that still stood behind me. It came from somewhere beyond the road ahead of me. I couldn't see anyone, but I heard it. I had to move, to take a step towards that voice, a step forward. There were still things I had left to do, for Monica, and for myself. There'd be no relief for me until then, but once I did it, Monica, I wish I could be with you forever, but it wasn't meant to be. I'm sorry for everything. I pray that one day, this aching in my heart, this burning hatred, and this first love will make it back to that world of light. First thing I saw when I opened my eyes was four girls headbutting each other. I turned my head to see Miss Miyako standing at the door and rubbing her eyes as though she'd got some dust in them. Monica was there too. It felt like I'd just been there with her. But I couldn't quite remember. Ugh, it hurts. Your heads must be made of iron or something. That's my line. Same. It's the same here. I'm so glad to see you finally awake. Miss Miyako. You were sleeping for all this time, Shinji. Huh? Ah. I glanced at the clock, only to realize it was already quite late. I see. I finally remembered. Did you come because you were worried about me? Yes. I see. Thanks. I'm sorry for what happened. What are you talking about? We're comrades. Kirito grasped my hand. I accepted that as a habit of hers at this point. Hey, don't act as though you're the only one here. Same. It's the same here. Ahem, pardon me. Aha, I couldn't quite figure it out from your stories, but you really seem like you're quite a merry bunch. Certainly. We are. Yep. Yeah. Miss Miyako's eyes looked kind of red. I realized that she was actually crying. I was touched. What was this? Was it because I made everyone worry? I'm really grateful. I think it's thanks to you that I think it's thanks to you that I managed to come back. Yep. Monica. It definitely wasn't me who pulled you back. Don't forget that. She disappeared into the ribbon without waiting for a response. Monica's deepest wish. A strange thought like that suddenly floated to my consciousness. I didn't know what that was, even though I was her lover. Akitsu Marika, my dead girlfriend. On some instinctive level, I suddenly felt like the time for us to part had been drawing close. The Joker, Part 1. We didn't make it to school until after lunch. With us both breaking our attendance records at the same time, we attracted quite a bit of suspicion. Though no one said anything out loud, people tended to mistake us for a couple shortly after I joined Sakura Nomori Dreamers. I didn't think I treated her any differently, but Kirito almost never spoke to guys to begin with, and most of them thought of her as someone hard to approach. As such, I attracted attention just by casually talking to her. Ahem, I'd like to begin the after-class homeroom. Mr. Tsukuda, did your cold return? You seem down again. Maybe. I think I feel okay, but I don't know. Tsukuda cocked his head. That's all. Stan, bow. Fukugami, yes? Could you come with me for a moment? Okay. Tsukuda turned around and stared at me as we entered the corridor. Is something the matter? No. I didn't notice it from a distance, but it looked like he hadn't shaved today. With his eyes cloudy, I couldn't sense even a hint of the friendly aura he usually emanated. Though, if anything, that pleased me greatly. No, it's nothing. I'm sorry for stopping you. I gave him a light bow and returned to the classroom. What did he want? Kuriha regarded me with a worried look in her eyes. Nothing happened. Ah, don't tell me that. Huh? I said it was nothing, yet she grew all pale. Don't tell me he asked about why we were late for school together. No, he didn't. It seemed that not even Kirito could remain oblivious to the rumors anymore. I summon everyone to Trattoria Sakura Nomori today. I'm truly grateful for what you did this morning. I bowed my head again. Everyone smiled gently, which made me a bit embarrassed. I'm also sorry for making you all late for school. It's alright, we managed to make it back by the end of lunchtime anyway. Though, have you noticed? Everyone stared at us as we cut across the yard. I saw that too, though I don't get what it was they were looking at. Well, we stood out, I suppose. It must have looked like Shinji had an entourage of girls. Tell me about it. Ha! Kiriha let out a sigh, surprising everyone. What's wrong? Why are you blushing all of a sudden? I heard things in the classroom. They didn't say it to me directly, but... What did they say? Oh, You know how in manga they have this coming home in the morning kind of stereotype going? Well... That's what I heard being discussed about us since we both showed up late at the same time. Oh, so that's what you meant. We were also late like you two, but it wasn't as obvious since we were in different classes. Yeah. One of the girls even asked me if we spent the night somewhere during the break. I told her that it was Shizumiya who spent the night in this place, not me. Or his place, not me. Wait, what? You told her that? Huh? Was that bad? Well, I guess not really. I might as well use it for my own benefit when the time comes. Mahoro, you're starting to sound awfully suspicious. It really surprised me in a weird way, though. In a weird way? What way is that? Everyone ignored Kirito's perfectly sensible question. But then I quickly realized that it wasn't the time to think about these kinds of things. I myself had the exact same thing happen to me before, so... It didn't take me long to realize Shinji was stuck in a dream. Could you tell us what had happened exactly, Shinji? As long as you don't mind. I nodded. Right, I forgot to tell you the most important part. Tsukuda isn't the Joker. I heard from Mahoro that he was, something about being a predator. It seemed like Kirito didn't want to say the full word out loud in public. Yeah, turned out it wasn't related to the Joker or even Bodox, but I think I should still report it to the police. It's not like anything will come out from beating him up in his dreams. You want me to tell Grandpa about it? Yeah, though I'd like to get the permission from his victim first. Confronting Hide would only bring back painful memories, but as his friend, I couldn't ignore this, and we never withheld anything from each other before. Anyway, back to the main point. I ended up going further into the cave in the core. It was like it was calling me to come inside. Then light enveloped me, and I woke up through that. I woke up, though that turned out to not be the real world, but the depths of the dream. My head was a mess when I just woke up, but now I could remember almost everything. I told them what had transpired there. Everyone listened to me with serious looks on their faces. In retrospect, it was some sort of weird mix of the past and the present. Maybe because I always subconsciously wanted to go back to that day. The day when I left the swamp alone. The day I left Madoka. She was smiling. And of course, there was nothing for us to be afraid of at that time. It made me both happy and sad that the last I remembered of her was her smiling. If only I could return to that day. My subconsciousness wished it, but I'm not going to start torturing myself with what-ifs. I mean, it eventually led me to meeting all of you, and there are a few things that make me happier than that. My lips began curling up in response to everyone's smiles, but I quickly stopped myself. There's something I've got to do no matter what. It's thanks to you that I came back, but the objective that kept me going hasn't changed. I headed straight to Garota's detective agency after we parted ways. Come in. Hello. Hi. Hide wasn't standing upside down today. Instead, he lazily laid on the sofa reading a comic magazine. It seemed like they didn't have any customers as usual. Where's the chief? He wasn't at his desk, which most likely meant he was outside, but I still asked just in case. He's not here. I see. That's good. There was something I wanted to talk to you about. He nodded and tossed the magazine to the side. Then moved to the sink and began preparing coffee. I figured it might have been easier to say it without having to look straight at his face, so I began talking without waiting for him to come back. You don't really have to do this, but... As far as I know, this is the kind of crime that you need to personally press charges or... I came here to make everything clear, yet I couldn't help hesitating when it came to actually saying it. I calmed myself down and continued. This is about Tsukada. Hide finally turned away from the kettle to me. I learned this through Secure Nomura Dreamers, the group I've been telling you about. I saw you. Are you saying the person in the video was... I see. That's why I thought he looked familiar. Hide silently stared at me as I kept stuttering. Getting raped. So I was thinking. We should inform the police.
So.
I see.
そのこと.
So you know now. Ah! I choked. I began blinking uncontrollably, trying to suppress the tears from showing up. I probably shouldn't have mentioned anything after all. Did my actions just pour salt in an old wound? I didn't want you to know. Of all people. Hide. The whistling of the kettle filled the room as the water boiled up. But to me, it felt like it was coming from somewhere far away. I didn't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm sorry. Hide's shoulders trembled as I stared at him, not knowing what to do. Perhaps his laid-back nature made me underestimate the severity of how it would affect him. I'd never seen him act angry or sad before, and I ended up using that part of his personality as an excuse not to think my actions through. At that moment, my entire body froze from my head to the tip of my toes. It felt like I'd been dropped into the middle of a blizzard, yet the insides of my body boiled. What was going on? What was this? It was as though a friend had transformed into some sort of nasty insect right before my eyes. I stared at him, my mind completely blank. I stared at his trembling shoulders as weird grunts escaped from his mouth. Might want to run. A laugh that sounded like sobbing continuing endlessly despite the brief but constant intermissions. This was... Monica looked just as frozen as me. Her expression told me everything, but I nonetheless opened my mouth. Hide, stop doing that! His disturbing grunting finally stopped. You were imitating Tsukuda, weren't you? Why do you care about how I laugh? Why? I mean, I was speechless. This was something that only the victims could know. Something that not even the police could find out. The answer is... The answer is no. He's the one who learned it from me. You saw the video, didn't you? Didn't you notice what he was saying then? He kept whispering me to cry as he thrust his hips with everything he had. This is what originally attracted him to me, apparently. He's pretty weird. He thought he was threatening me, saying that he'd kick me out if I didn't listen. But I didn't even mind it that much. By it, I mean the sex. I didn't really want to do it with him, but then I figured it'd make it easier when I got out. What easier? Money. Yeah, they spelled it out for me. Did you really think of me as a monk who had given up on all material worth? Aha, not at all. You can't buy sweet rolls without money. I could have continued to steal like in the past, but there's a limit for how long you can do that. The chief of this place might look gruff, but he's a good guy. I wouldn't even mind if he was homosexual, but he's got no money. I'm grateful that he keeps a half-wit like me, but he only ever hands me a minimal allowance. So I'd have been in trouble if I didn't get anything from Tsukuda. Then, the 100,000 yen he takes out from his account every month? Huh? You know even that? That half-wit trash should go and die in a gutter. Or rather, I should have killed him myself. He's a madman that's only good for ass-fucking. Well, it's kind of like prostitution, I guess. I'm stupid, so I started it without thinking much, but darn did it hurt. I thought I'd long gotten used to pain, but... Headache, please, I've heard enough. But you're the one who brought it up. He threatened me and acted like he was in control, but I could tell he got quite obsessed with me. And after I let him have his way for a while, I showed who had the upper hand with a bit of pain. Yeah? My mind went blank again as I never expected to hear those kinds of words come from Hide's mouth of all people. Oblivious or not caring about my inner turmoil, he continued without changing his expression one bit. I slipped some sleeping medicine into his drink, then tied him up as he slept. That fool kept bragging about how he graduated from an inter-college. Oh, just remembering it cracks me up. It was true I couldn't quite compare to him in brute strength, so I made sure to bind his arms and legs, then I gagged him, and woke him up with a punch to the face.
自分が痛い目に遭ってきたせいかな。自分のも他人のも痛みには無頓着なんだ。
I went through a lot of abuse in my life, which I think desensitized me to pain, both of others and my own. It started with breaking his finger. Crunch, crunch, crunch. He reenacted the scene with almost childlike innocence. Then I snipped his ear, which was his most sensitive spot, with scissors. You don't seem like you want to hear it. Well, I'll abbreviate that part then. Basically, by the time I was finished, he was covered in blood, tears, and his own feces from his head to his toes. Our relationship took quite a severe turn after that. But he remained obsessed with me. He's pretty lonely, I guess. It was easy to get him to do exactly what I wanted with a little bit of bait. Though, I told him to throw away those videos of me. I guess he didn't listen. Well, there's nothing I can do to change that. It's like a disease in his case. It won't go away so long as he's alive. I let him live because his money paid my bills, but then this is where it ended up leading to. What do you mean? Didn't I already tell you that you're the one person I didn't want to know? I had no idea what he was trying to say. He mentioned something about not wanting me to feel sorry for him. I knew I should have killed that fool. I'd have cut his ears off first. Aha! I bet that would have gotten a better reaction from him than cutting off his dick. Aha! Hide, I want you to answer just one thing for me. I already knew the answer, but I still couldn't help but ask. Were you the one who killed Monica? Your girlfriend, you mean? I nodded. I knew it. Yep, that was me. I must have still been clinging onto some faint shred of hope. But hearing his reply made me feel like the very ground gave out under my feet. Why? The two didn't even know each other. They may have seen each other in passing once or twice, but I doubted they ever had the chance to talk. But then, why? Why did you do it? He'd been talking nonstop earlier, but now he just smiled. Did you two take a liking to that swamp? I saw you come from time to time. Huh? It's my favorite place. Though it didn't seem like you spotted me even once. Before I started working here, well, and after too, I wandered around the outskirts of the town like a half-wit straggler should. I was really just roaming without a destination when I chanced upon that hidden place. Now I go there for a reason, though. To kill? Yep. It looks like I naturally made everyone drop their guard around me, probably because I look stupid. So the whole thing's a lot easier than you might think. I was actually waiting for you two to come that day. You two kissed. I thought that was nice. It made me warm and fuzzy. I was so happy. I couldn't contain my laugh. It always happens when I get too excited, though I guess most people are like that. Or is it just me? Haha. Happy. I was slightly mentally conflicted, you see. I didn't know exactly how you felt. I didn't know how exactly you felt about her. It should be exactly how you felt about her. You never told me about her. And I never asked. But even a half-wit like myself can figure out what's what after witnessing such a passionate kiss, so... I killed her. What do you mean, so... I jumped out of the bushes and pushed her into the water, which is exactly what he did. So how many of you would actually be about ready to break this guy's face after hearing this shit? Like, a lot of people just like, alright, you're dead. Fuck this. But then he goes on to say, then I started strangling her. She kept struggling and waving her arms and legs around, so I had to sit on her to make sure she didn't escape. I'm not into that kind of thing like Tsukada, but... It felt like I was raping her. I even got hard as I was doing it. You piece of shit! Hold on.
There should be a way to... I didn't want to do that.
Will you kill me? Yes, I will. I will fucking kill you. Aha, that's good to hear. You're going to keep your promise. I'll have you keep your promise, Shinji. Hide smiled underneath me. Would you, one day, kill me if you can? That's what I asked, and you said okay. Were you just going along with me? An excuse like that won't work with me. It's our promise. My grip relaxed slightly. Hide seemed to sense that, his expression suddenly growing ice cold. You won't keep it? What are you talking about? I don't understand. In that moment... Huh? My field of vision tipped over. I was leaning down to the floor, yet I now seemed to be staring at the wall. For a moment, I thought Chief Garota had come back to mediate our scuffle. So I glanced to the side to see Monica looking behind my back with a confused expression. It didn't look like the chief had come back after all. What's wrong, Monica? I don't understand. What is this? Monica narrowed her eyes as though having trouble making out whatever was there. My field of view turned upside down this time. Yeah. Wake up! Hey, wake up already, kid. Pain flared in my cheeks as I opened my eyes. Huh? Are you awake? Can you tell who I am? Yes. The chief sighed and looked behind my back. So, how the hell did this happen? Huh? Are you still half asleep? Or do you not know what's going on yourself? I finally realized I was sitting on the floor in the corner of the room. You were lying on the floor, eh? I thought to call an ambulance, but you seemed to come too as I picked up the phone, so I figured to get you up first. How do you feel? Does your head hurt? Do you feel sick? Anything like that? No, I'm fine. Any of your limbs feeling numb? You are lying in a pretty weird position. The chief touched my knee. His palm felt surprisingly warm. I'm okay, I think. I'm glad to hear it. Can you stand? I nodded and slowly stood up. Ah, my back. I didn't notice when I was sitting, but it looked like I received some sort of blow there. I staggered to the sofa and promptly sunk into it. It wasn't like the pain was so bad I couldn't take it, but it seemed to be enough to make sweat break on my forehead. So, instead of going to his usual place behind the desk, the chief lowered onto the armchair in front of me. What happened? Without waiting for an answer, he nodded toward the shelf by the wall. Look there, the glass on my shelf's cracked. Ah! Good thing it didn't shatter completely, but my guess is that you crashed into it. That was probably what was responsible for my back pain. Don't tell me Haraguro Enterprise did this to you. Huh? I'm talking about the fat guy with the bodyguard. It wasn't them? I don't think it was them. Think. Hey, pull yourself together, kid. I'm sorry. I don't really understand myself. Well, there's no point in apologizing to me, though. Someone jumped me from behind. You didn't see them? Ah, that's why you're so confused. I nodded. Hidei was obviously the prime suspect, but there was no way he could do it while being pinned to the ground. Then I got thrown like a bag of potatoes. You got thrown? Yes, I think that's how it happened. The chief rubbed his stubble-covered chin and cocked his head. He looked at me, then at the shelf. You seem like you should weigh like a normal young man. And yet someone threw you like a bag? I couldn't blame him for getting suspicious. I myself could barely believe it. But the sensation of floating in the air was freshly carved into my memory, and we do recall that, folks. You flew into the air and crashed into that shelf? Yes. Were you fighting a professional wrestler? Well, the muscle heads from Haraguro might be able to pull that off.
Shinji. 違うよ. あの時.
That's not it, Shinji. There was no one else in the room back then. What? Sorry. I don't understand why they'd want to hurt you, though. Did they tell you anything? No, I don't think it was them. Then who did it? I'm not joking here. You can sue them for assault. The chief let out a resigned breath as I kept my silence. What happened to Hide? Was he here when that happened to you? No, he wasn't here. He was out buying sweet rolls. I made that up on the spot. That fool. He's always like that when it counts. Still, this is weird. For a moment, I thought he saw through my lie, but the chief was talking about something else. When did it happen? I mean, what is the exact time you got assaulted? I talked to some friends after school, then went straight here, so about 5 o'clock, I guess? It's 8 o'clock now, by the way. Your phone was buzzing for a while. Eh? Ah! I quickly checked my phone to see missed calls from Miss Miyako and Hatsune, and then a text from Kirito, Shizumiya, and Arisaka, each of whom were, or Arisaka rather, each of whom were probably contacted by them. Which means you've been lying here for 3 hours. You sure you're alright? Yes, I think so. You'd never guess he was such a worrywart from his appearance. Okay then, that said, the half-wit's been gone buying sweet rolls for over 3 hours? Yes, the chief did see through his lie. Well, he does tend to disappear from time to time, though I've got no idea where he'd go without money. Still, something smells about this. Disappear? So instead of doing his errands, he was actually out killing people. He didn't spend all of Tsukuda's money on sweet rolls. It must have cost quite a bit to move around and do the things he did. Well, the fool's like a kite. I bet he got distracted and went somewhere. Hideis. I changed my mind. There was no use telling the chief or the police about him. We were talking about the Joker, a serial killer that left no evidence. This was a job for Secure Nomori Dreamers. Yeah, I think so too. I think I should be going. I stood up. It still hurt, but it wasn't as bad now that I was prepared for it. You want to report this to the police? This is an actual assault case. No. I can tell them for you. I've got some connections there. You do? Ah, you're a detective, so. Didn't I tell you? I used to be police. This is the first time I'm hearing it. I used to work under this crazy old man by the name of Kirito. Heh, it's downright nostalgic to think of it now. That I was surely hearing for the first time. I immediately called home and replied to everyone's texts after I left the office. Are you okay? Yeah, well, it hurts pretty bad when I walk, but... I wish I could have picked you up, but I can't touch anything, so... I kept calling to you, but you didn't react, though I guess that too is because my voice isn't really generating sound waves. You've got no idea how worried I was. I knew you weren't dead because you weren't breathing, but... What on earth did this to me? I don't know. How can you not? You were right beside me. Yeah. Monica nodded with an obviously bewildered expression. Oh yeah, you said something weird about nothing else being present in the room. That's true. There was really no one there besides you and him. So what the hell did this to him, folks? I think it should have been quite impossible for him to throw me from that position. And that wasn't all. I was looking straight at him and he didn't move. It'd have made more sense if he at least bent his back or something, but... He really just lay there motionless for the most part. There was no way he had enough leverage to exert any physical force on me. About that, I saw something weird behind your back. What do you mean? What was it? I don't know. Monica shrugged. I remembered how hard she was staring behind my back. Yet, she still didn't know what it was. Talk about bizarre. Or rather, I can't believe what I saw. Monica disappeared into her ribbon. The more I heard about it, the more confused I got. I'm home. Shinji, we were worried. Shinji, I'm sorry. What happened? On the phone you said you'd explain when you came back. I couldn't think of a good excuse right away, and nothing good came to mind as I was walking home either. So I ended up just telling them mostly the truth. Someone attacked me. What? I think it was some crazy maniac. They didn't stab me or anything, but I got shoved to a wall and hurt my back. I went to the police, but there's little I could tell them since I didn't see the assailant. Miss Miyako nodded and slumped her shoulders. I see. I can barely believe this. There's definitely something wrong with this town. It didn't used to be like this before. I made up that bit about the assailant, but Miss Miyako's words still hit home hard. Sakura Nomori was almost completely overtaken by Bodox, and it was the Joker who attracted them here. Are you sure you're okay, Shinji? Hatsune, despite her small frame, tried to help me to my feet. She had an ice pack in one hand and pressed against where it hurt. I felt grateful for her help. It definitely made the ordeal easier to cope with. Miss Miyako was shocked to see my back as she volunteered to bandage it after dinner. This looks terrible. I think it's bleeding internally. It must hurt quite bad there. Yeah, it definitely hurts a bit. You've got to keep bruises cool. Hatsune, bring me another ice pack. Okay. That person must have tossed you with quite a bit of strength. I mean, just look at it. I couldn't really see it, so I may have underestimated it. I suppose I should have been grateful it wasn't my neck or head instead. A terrible power that threw an adult man like a bag. That definitely sounded like a mystery. Miss Miyako returned to our apartment after treating me, while Hatsune stayed behind, insisting she was worried about me. I didn't want to make up any more lies, so that turned out to be perfect for me. Miss Miyako probably didn't even suspect I was thinking about going out. Mom said you've got to keep it cool and take lots of rest. Yeah, I know, but now's one time I can't afford sitting still no matter what. I've learned the identity of the Joker, of the bastard that killed Monica. Just then, the taxi that I had called arrived in front of my house. That was a bit extravagant for a mere student, but I was in no condition to ride my bike. I had Kirito's grandfather come due to the gravity of the matter.
Yatsuka Hidenori te...
Yatsuka Hidenori? I feel like I've heard that name somewhere before. Yeah, I asked if you knew him a while back. I see. Why did you ask that anyway? I suspected that Hide, Yatsuka Hidenori, might have known about Sakura Nomori Dreamers. I always thought of him as a hero. Well, heroes are there to punish the wicked, aren't they? I thought he was killing villains left and right. Ironically, it turned out that the only part about killing turned out to be true. Hold on. Ironically, it turned out that the part about killing turned out to be true.
Yatsuka Hidenori wa dare kara kiita no kashira?
I didn't really think about it much back then, but I wonder where he learned about us. Maybe he had a friend among our dojo students. I doubt he has many friends. Yatsuka Hidenori, you asked me about him before too. He wouldn't happen to be Kamijo Hidenori, would he? No, he introduced himself as Yatsuka to me. I didn't think much of it since the last names were different, but... I know a young man by the name of Kamijo Hidenori. I stared at Kirito's grandfather, slightly taken off guard by the unfamiliar name. Did your friend used to frequent Sakuranomori Park? Yes, he definitely did. He used to live in some sort of orphanage. I think it was called Asanaro Academy or something. That's it. Because his parents passed away. Yes. It seemed like we were talking about the same person after all. Kamijo is the last name of his deceased father. I'm pretty sure that's still his legal name. Why do you know so much about him? To answer your first question, Kamijo Hidenori knew of Sakuranomori Dreamers because I told him about us. You knew him? No, let me start from the beginning. I used to be a policeman. I think I've mentioned it before, but about 5 years before I was retired, I was transferred to the regional police force and patrolled the streets for a while. I didn't get along with my superiors that well, so that was their way of getting rid of me. That was exactly what I wanted at that point. A director of a police station in the outskirts had a lot more free time than one in the station in the middle of the city. I spent a lot of it patrolling the town looking for Bodocks. That's when I met Kamijo Hidenori. Hide was probably still a kid at that time. He did leave quite an impression now that I think about it. Not because he was violent or wild, but... If anything, he looked like a meek boy with lonely eyes. Lonely eyes? Yes. That sounded a bit different from the Hide I knew. His eyes were always completely tranquil, like he didn't care about the mundane world. But people's personalities tended to change as they grew older. I'd always find him sitting all alone in the park. It made me curious after a while. I learned he didn't talk much when I tried addressing him, but he answered all of my questions. I contacted the orphanage, and when they said they'd come to pick him up, they never really did. The same was true about the school. It was like everyone was avoiding him. Or maybe that's just how those facilities function. I can't say out of my experience. Anyway, that's how I ended up chatting. That's how I ended chatting the kid up from time to time. I see. I thought the Joker was someone related to the police or myself since he knew our address, but now it, so now it finally makes sense. Huh? Did you bring him here? No, I didn't go that far, but I did introduce him to our dojo. And so Kirito's grandfather began telling the story. Sakura Nomori Park was teeming with energy, even on weekdays. Young parents with preschool children, youngsters with nothing to do, the elderly. A bunch of civil servants that looked like they were skipping out on their job. Both those busy and not so much gathered at this famous spot. But he was different. There was no will in his actions. It was as though he was taken there by a stream. Or at least that's how it looked. I asked him if he found anything special in this park. It'd been over 40 years since I got my first badge. Hold on. It'd been over 40 years since I first got my badge. By then, I thought I'd been covered from head to toe by the soot and ashes of the worst that humanity had to offer. Field duty put me into a position where I had to interact with everyday people on a daily basis, so I did my best to appear friendly and approachable. Not to mention I was interacting with a child. I tried making an awkward smile, but I was met with complete silence. It didn't seem like it had any effect. But then I quickly realized that he wasn't even looking at me. He didn't respond simply because he had nothing to say. He always sat on the ground with his arms around his knees, gazing into the distance. I'd have been curious about him, even if I weren't an officer. Policemen were human too, after all. He didn't talk by himself, but he'd answer any question I asked. His name was Hidenori. He had a name tag with Kamijo Hidenori written on it, most likely from some specialty school. He couldn't have been older than elementary school at the time. He had no parents and lived in an institution called Asanaro Academy. I tried contacting them, but they only paid me lip service. Though being a civil servant myself, I felt indignant about it for a short while, but I realized that it probably wasn't the fault of the organization as a whole. There was an unpleasant smell coming from Kamijo Hidenori. His otherwise soft hair had hardened to the touch, and his collar had blackened from extended wear. I asked whether he didn't mind that, to which he answered, I don't know, apparently. Perhaps that was why the people from the organization had trouble dealing with him. And it wasn't just the felt that stood out on his body, he was also covered in bruises. Though none of them looked new by a long shot. I couldn't quite ask a child about his parents after they had just died, but there was probably something funky going on at home. He was an unfortunate kid. I tried inviting him to my kendo school, but he didn't seem interested. I'd always find him sitting on the ground with his head in the clouds. Most kids his age overflowed with energy and wanted to move all the time, but he said he had been like that for as long as he remembered. Back when his parents were still alive. Back when he still lived in his home. Kamijo Hidenori spent most of his time sitting on the floor doing nothing. You must be bored. I couldn't help pointing that out, but the answer that followed hung in my head for the rest of my life. I'm empty. What do you mean? I didn't quite understand. He probably couldn't explain it himself. But it didn't sound like something an elementary school kid should say. Unable to outright refute it to the kid's face, instead I asked him something. Do you want to fill yourself up so you're not empty anymore? He didn't answer. But I didn't miss how his eyebrows twitched. I was pretty... What? I was a very observant... We're just gonna say... I was a very observant detective. Every person has some sort of role. You may not know yours now, but eventually, the world needed all sorts of people, and humans were social animals. But rather than explaining that, I chose something I thought a kid would prefer. There are monsters in this world. What? It was the first time he showed any signs of interest. Pleased, I began to explain about Bodox, about what happened when they possessed you, and about the presence of untraceable serial killers, and those that fought them.
世間の誰にも知られることなく、よって称賛を集めることも。
No one knows about their actions, so they receive neither praise nor glory. Do you understand how noble that is? I face the boy who raised his head probably for the first time. That's what I mean by role. A role? Is that what could fill my emptiness? He asked the question for the first time, to which I gave a strong nod. Exactly. A hero. Yes, you could call them that. Neither the police nor even the self-defense forces can do anything against those monsters. As the only ones that can fight them, they are indeed the heroes of sorts. I never talked to him again after that day. Well, I actually did spot him a few more times, but he didn't seem to be sitting on the ground spacing out anymore. He'd even given me a friendly bow when our eyes met. He looked like nothing but a normal boy, almost as though someone else was wearing his skin. Eventually, I ended up retiring and forgot all about the lad, though there were a few things that remained in my memories. The strange remark about being empty, and Bodox. I used to keep it a secret, but that changed my mind, though I couldn't find anyone else display as much interest in them as Kamijo Hidenori. That's what happened. I see. It was actually him that made me enlarge my circle of suspects.
容疑者?
What do you mean? After I saw him get so excited, I figured it was something the kids liked and began telling stories about them to my dojo students. Well, no one took me seriously, though. I learned that it was a lot harder to convince people there were things in the world they couldn't see. The Joker knew about Kirito's household and its activities, but they couldn't narrow the list of suspects since that information had become so widely available. He said he was empty. You were his friend, weren't you? Have you never talked about that? No, not really. I felt like I was being told a story of someone I never knew, and it definitely wasn't just the impression I got from him having a different last name. I could tell just from the story, he had changed completely. I think I met Hide sometime after your encounter with him. You said he started acting differently after what you told him, so I think he had indeed changed after that day. That said, it's still a little bit strange. As much as I tried to pique his interest, it wasn't exactly a life-changing story. Well, I suppose kids are more impressionable than adults. Maybe that's all it was. Hide kept talking about heroes to me all the time. I assumed he was a big fan of those old shows, but it didn't seem to have been the case at all. Or after all. The key was probably hidden in that single conversation they had in the past. But it seemed that not even someone who was part of that conversation could quite pinpoint what it was. We moved to the next room after I finished explaining everything. I hesitated as my eyes wandered to one of the reclining chairs. Was it really all right to go on with this? Fukugami, what's wrong? No. I opened my mouth before I even realized it. I never mentioned it because I felt it wasn't related, but I was attacked by an unknown assailant as I walked along the road today, and I showed my back to everyone. It hurts pretty bad to sit. I'm not sure if I'll be able to dive today. You could have said you were hurt. We would have come to your place instead. I suppose so. But I was completely set on diving just moments before. That was why I came to begin with. Yet my resolve vanished when I saw the actual chairs. I couldn't help but be surprised by my own anxiety. But could you still do it without me? There's no problem as long as there are two divers, right? Yes, that's right. Yep.
けど、相手のことを知っている人がいないと夢に侵入するのもちょっと難しいの。
Ah, but it might be a bit hard to invade the dream of someone you don't know.
だから、私たちだけだとうまくいかないかもしれない。
It might not go that well with just us. Alright, well, I think I'll be better by tomorrow. Could you stay over as well, Hatsune? There might come a need for your powers. Okay, got it. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I'll be going home for now. Are you sure you're gonna be okay all alone? Yeah. I had the people in the house called a taxi and left in it. Could you wait here for a moment? I'll be right back. Roger. Shinji, what are you thinking? I'd never seen Monika look so angry, not in life and not even in death. But I ignored her and hurried toward the building. You nincompoop, what on earth have you? Good evening. Oh, it's you, I thought it was Hide. He hasn't come back yet? I came to see him. Yeah. He still hasn't showed up, as unbelievable as that sounds. The chief glared at the clock on the wall. Both of his hands were pointed at 12. Is it unusual for him to be out at night? Well, maybe not the time itself, but this is the first time he's been gone for so long. I see. The hustle and bustle abated around the station at this hour, making the agency feel unusually silent and eerie. It's weird. Not to say it wasn't expected, but there's still something off about this. What do you mean, expected? How long do you think two men can live together? It's not like we're gay. He remained foul-mouthed as usual, but the fact he shouted at me, thinking I was Hide as I opened the door, was proof he was worried. He's a detective's assistant, after all. Like I need one. As you know, we don't really have people coming around here. So it's not like him disappearing will have any effect on the actual business, but it seemed that he really did like Hide. And it was probably the same for Hide, too. The fact that such a dangerous serial killer could live with someone in peace stood testament to it. Well, he did appear out of nowhere, so I guess it's only natural for him to disappear like that, too. It hasn't even been a full day since he left. I ended up consoling him. I couldn't say the same about Hide, but I didn't dislike Chief Kuroda. But now that I look at it, the fool didn't have a thing. I looked around the room, indeed. It didn't feel like someone was living here. Yet two men who were neither family nor friends stayed here for years. When he disappears, it almost feels like he never existed to begin with. I think I'll be on my way. The chief looked away and nodded faintly.
Shinji,
Shinji, please stop. I know what you're thinking. Don't stop me.
Shinji!
She probably would have blocked my path if she were alive. But now her sole means of resistance were words, and I wasn't in the mood of listening. I got into the taxi. Where would you like to go next? The driver gave me a confused look through the back mirror as I told him the address. You sure you want to go there? A friend lives there. No buses run at this hour anymore. I think you'll have a hard time finding your way back. You sure you want to go there? Yes. Shinji, please, let's go back home already. Monika pleaded at me from the seat next to me. The driver kept glancing back, almost as though he had a sixth sense or something. Are you sure you're okay, kid? You look plenty pale. Apparently, it was only because of the color of my face. I'm all right. My face probably didn't look anything special, not to mention you probably couldn't tell anything in the dark interior of the car. But maybe you saw something through my expression. I was, after all, out to kill someone.
Shinji!
I know how Arisaka feels now. Her best friend got killed, which is why she's trying to take revenge on Kirito's sister. Indirectly, at least. The usual method simply isn't enough. What method? beating up people in their dreams. I was all about diving until I saw that room and those chairs. But my mind suddenly changed when I did. I can't deal with Hide, the Joker, in such an indirect way. Please think it over. You're gonna ruin your life, you know. I knew that. I remember what Chief Kuroda, former policeman as it turned out, told me. Just don't dirty your hands with blood. That's not the only thing I'm worried about. Have you thought of the possibility of getting yourself killed? He's no different from an average person. He won't be able to overpower me easily. I wouldn't be so sure. I looked directly at her for the first time. That person might really be a monster. Monica looked at me with an expression of utmost seriousness. What do you mean? I didn't tell you because I couldn't believe my own eyes, but... Right, she mentioned something along those lines before. Or rather, I can't believe what I saw. I saw something strange behind your back as you pushed him down. I don't think that was just my eyes playing tricks on me. Huh? What exactly did you see? She began talking. Okay. Alright, folks, this is where we're gonna go ahead and end it. I know we're getting really into the deep core of the story. We're finding everything out. All the clues are... secrets are being revealed. All the clues have led us to this point. We're there, folks. The mystery is pretty much solving itself. So, you guys want to stay tuned for the next one for sure when we find out what happens next. And this will be the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. See you guys later.